This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War on the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons, tune in. We're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.
Yourself in.
If you listen, I can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Here we go.
Major Tom, let's do a sound check.
Yes.
How you doing?
Good evening. I'm doing fine, thank you.
It's been months. How you been?
Pretty good.
Of course, it wasn't
amazing.
You.
Amazing.
It wasn't you that went AWOL. I was on a special project for about 2 months, so forgive me. It's been so long since we had you on it. I'm glad to hear you're doing good. We're back, though.
Well, thank you.
Everybody, welcome aboard. We're excited to be here tonight with Professor Tom Mack and Major Tom Baird. We've got the crew back together tonight. And gentlemen, we got plenty of time. My next show is not till 9 Eastern, so no worry. We were just getting things set up, so you can take your time tonight. Who would like to do the honors and open us up with prayer?
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, let's pause for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We recognize that the forces of evil have been kicked out of heaven. They have been descended upon us here on earth. Woe is the earth now, as we are inundated by them. Lord, we come before you in the fullness of your power, of your shed blood for us, O Lord God, Lord Jesus. We call upon you in the name of Jesus to come against all these principalities and powers and forces of wickedness, darkness, and evil on the face of the earth and in high places. We command you to be bound and to be removed and put into the great deepest depths of hell, to be chained there to await your judgment. In the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord God, we call this to be. We decree it and we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, we're sort of lost on that.
Brother Tom, y'all take it away.
Okay. Amen. You know, last week we sort of get an outline of what we're going to do tonight. Since we have a little more time, and I'm really thankful we do, we're going to try to cover this in a little more detail. And I would advise somebody, don't try putting this up on Skype. They're going to take exception to many things we're going to say tonight. I'm hoping we can get a recording, though, that we can put up somewhere. Because we do put these up on aliveontheedge.com. And so far, GoDaddy has been kind, and they have never taken one down. And they have assured me they won't. So we at least have one place to go. But there are other places, too. I'm going to look into putting some of these up on Brighteon in time. And if we can get them on Brighteon, he's definitely going to, Mike Adams is going to be very open to what Major Baird is going to say tonight. And some of this material, I will try in the next couple of days to get Shannon some links for you so that people can go look up these things that we're talking about. Because the scary thing is there's an amazing amount of medical literature that backs up everything we're going to talk about tonight. And it isn't just one or two things. It's thousands.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part is this has been going on for a long time. They've been planning this for a long time. I've started to wonder, and when we get the Bible code system back up and running, I'm going to check. But I wonder if this didn't start in Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking that. Right at the end of the war, it began to take off in the occult in Germany, I believe. And from what they were doing, it morphed into the technicians that were brought over on paperclip to us, and then those that were taken on over to Russia and the other side.
On paperclip, huh?
Not on paperclip for Russia, but on us. Operation Paperclip, yeah.
That is. I think we're having a little fun here with a transmission here, but we'll keep trying. But the real issue is whether Shannon can hear us.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
Yeah, can Shannon hear us?
I don't know. Testing 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1.
Getting a little concerned here. Are you there, Shannon? Oh, it's making me wish I had decided to record this one.
Mm-hmm.
So we could keep it going, and then if he wanted to rebroadcast it at a later date, he could.
Yeah, I see your box and my box being outlined, but I don't see any outline over Shannon.
Let me try to...
Test.
Let's see if I can.
Hmm. Uh-oh. Well, I don't know. I don't see you, Tom. Are you there? Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3.
Stand by. Major Tom?
Yes, I'm here. Loud
okay.
and clear.
I stepped away just for a second. I am back, and Tom is gone. Let's try that again. Stand by.
He was trying something. I don't know what happened.
Okay. Hold on. Was he having issues?
Yeah, we were having audio issues.
Brother Tom?
I'm here.
Hey.
Oh, here he is.
Are you on Wi-Fi tonight?
I am now.
Okay.
Because this is over in my bedroom. And.
Okay, no problem.
But the Wi-Fi is really... really, really good signal. It's 100%.
Well, you're coming through loud and clear. That may have caused a drop, though. But, hey, we'll work with this.
Of course, the real test is going to... Oops, what's happening here?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Brother Mac?
Both of you, I hear 555.
Yeah, Tom Barrett, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Mac?
Are we here?
Yes, I can
yes.
hear you. Can you hear us, Mac?
I think we lost Shannon again.
No, he's right here. I'm hearing
right
him.
Rab, I just lost everybody.
Okay.
I don't. No, I can hear you.
Okay.
And he can hear you also.
Hold on. Well, tell you what, brother, I'm going to call him on signal. Why don't you take the mic and talk for a while, and I'll work getting him back on with us. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Let me go on over to the PowerPoint. In the introduction of what we have, of the material we have, we're going to be going into the book of Revelation. And the latest research shows that the experts in Germany had it wrong as far as the authorship, the initial authorship of the book of Revelation. It was actually authored in Hebrew by John Mark around AD 40, between AD 40 and AD 68. And there's a very scholarly publication that lays all of that particular information out. It's not commonly known. The result eventually was that John Mark passed away, and there was a Roman censorship on what he had written. But the Apostle John, then later on, when he was around 100 and however many years, 110 years old or so, apparently was able to then publish John Mark's initial document that he had and scribe, because he and Peter and Paul were the three that were overseeing and supervising John Mark. Well, only the Apostle John was alive by the time of the end there. And so this information has revelation that came exactly as it speaks. In Revelation itself, those events really did happen, and they happened in the way in which they were described. And the detail of all of the scenes that you see and that you hear, of the things that you hear, are the very details in fact in which he was given by our Lord Jesus Christ to pass on down to us, some of which some of the wording of which meant nothing to them in their day. It was obviously translated back over into Greek. We don't know for sure whether John Mark himself did a translation, because he was literate in both Hebrew and Greek. And but nevertheless, when we come to chapter 6 and we begin to read in the second verse of chapter 6 and talk about the white horse, and that you have the rider on the white horse, and he is with a bow, and it talks about he's going forth to conquer and to conquering and to conquer. Well, in there also, it has the word toxin, and that particular word did not mean poison necessarily to them, in as particularly in the Greek. Now, if you go back over into the Hebrew, yes, it does have a background of a poisoned dart or poisoned arrow that you would shoot at your enemy. They used to have what would we call it today? NBC, nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare. Well, their chemical warfare was to smear snake venom on the tip of the arrow and then shoot it at your enemy. Well, all it had to do was just enter into your bloodstream, and depending upon which viper you used, the enemy was gone very quickly. Nevertheless, as we go on down, and we do have a PowerPoint, by the way, if you follow that, and I'm on slide 3 right now, where they proceed with the seven churches. Those seven churches are not church ages, by the way. They are the condition of the churches to be found at the end of ages, which is now. And if you look around, you will find that each one of those conditions does in fact exist right before us now. All seven conditions, 5 bad and 2 good. Now, after he received that particular revelation, then he was writing all of this down on papyrus, and papyrus in those days would be like having a rare kind of paper that you could write upon that would cost $500 a sheet. So it wasn't something that was easily obtained, and it took quite a great deal of money. So they did have some financing problems initially to be able to have the medium in which he could then record what he was receiving. Nevertheless, that did happen throughout the period of his life. He finished the document just prior, I think about 2 years before he died. Anyway, as we continue on, the revelation that Jesus had of calling him up into heaven really did happen. The reason that we know the authenticity of this particular revelation revealing is because those who were supervising John Mark, which was John the Apostle, Peter, and Paul, and each one of them could verify, yes, this is exactly what we saw also. And so they were able to substantiate and confirm as it was being recorded. A little bit different of a history than what we normally are given in Bible school or Bible colleges. I don't have the actual cited work to give to you right now. If Tom Matt comes back up, he can actually, he does have the book and he can cite it for us. It's not a very easy read, as he described it to me, because it's a scholarly work done academically, where you have to cross your T's and dot your I's and substantiate with every different claim and statement with factual footnotes that other people can then go back and research and say, yes, you didn't take it out of context. You did, in fact, properly record what you received. And so all of that was being done at the same time. And this, of course, is all I'm trying to describe to you, something that Tom Mack briefly shared with me just before, I'd say about an hour ago. I'm on slide 8, where we're reading about the white horse of Revelation, and the wording in that really does begin to conform to the modern day event of COVID-19 pandemic. It follows pretty our common events that are happening right now actually do conform to this particular first horse of the four horses of the apocalypse. Okay? And so we find that in verse 2, and it says, I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. Crown, by the way, in Greek is, I forgot the word now, but it actually does, go ahead.
Corona.
Yep. And guess what we have? Coronavirus, a crown virus. It wasn't a chance nature that this particular virus was named Corona. It's one of the viruses that was chosen because it looks like a crown in some respects. And so it's very easy to go ahead and use. Now, interestingly enough, as it says that he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Well, where else have we had all of the diverse nations of the world on one sheet of music, locked down, wearing masks, distancing themselves, and all of these other control features that have nothing to do with health, but everything to do with control and to be overcome, to be conquered. And we have watched ourselves conquered by an unseen enemy called a COVID virus. Now, another thing that's happened that I shared with Tom, and that is the recent discovery about individuals, particularly in Germany, that have been studying the vaccine and the COVID-19, and they've been doing genetic sequencing, trying to get the actual sequence and map of the genes of these particular substances that are being found in the virus, so-called virus, and in the vaccine itself. And they're finding they weren't looking for it, except those particular individuals that happen to be, I'm trying to think of what the technical word is, venomologists, if you want to put it that way. It's the study of venomous snakes. And these particular individuals happened to notice that the symptoms that they were describing in this pandemic were the exact symptoms of the neural, that's nervous, for nerves, venomous peptides. Now, a peptide is a group of amino acids, more than one amino acid, by the way. But I don't want to get too technical and too deep into the work, into the weeds, because that happens to be my field of interest. I'm not an expert in it, but it is a field of interest. And they began to do a mapping of the genetics of each one of these substances, only to begin to find what they call a high bias for two different snakes. The crept, the Chinese crept snake, and part of its venom is a coagulant, which means causes blood clots. And the other one is the Chinese king cobra. Now, you have to understand that in the Chinese king cobra, there are, oh gosh, I think 132 different poisonous peptides that the cobra has. But of that, only 19, notice very interestingly the number 19, COVID-19, you might just as well call it cobra 19, because there's 19 peptides that specifically target your vital organs and cause death. So we're dealing, I should add one more item of information for you. In addition, they also, there's a 1977 paper of the discovery, and I don't have the citation of that paper right now with me. I just know that it was 1977, where the researchers were able to have a breakthrough and were able to combine the neural, well, I should say all of the cobra venom peptides. They found that they would easily bond with the coronavirus. And the coronavirus then was able to take this poison, this venomous poison peptide, piggyback it with itself, and be able to enter through the barrier that normally would keep it from going into a cell. So it broached the cell membrane, brought that peptide in with it, or series of peptides, actually, more than one. And now you got to remember, think poison when you're thinking of that. Then the substance we now know as mRNA, which is the manipulating portion of RNA that does a lot of the repair work, and it tells this particular virus, then tells the mRNA, with the mRNA, tells the cell RNA, here I've got something that you need to make a copy of, replicate. We normally say replicate, but I'm just making lay terms. It wants to make a copy of it. So that cell then says, oh, okay. And it begins to produce on its own the cobra venom poison and shoots it out into the body for other cells to use, along with the code, here, copy this. And it happens quite quickly, and you immediately began over a 7-day period to have massive amounts of snake venom being produced by your own body, and that's why you're sick.
Brother Mac?
No.
Brother Mac will join us in a bit, but Brother Tom Baird, comment came to me. This mRNA is another way of thinking about its new software that reprograms your DNA with a new set of instructions.
Yes.
And it was occurring to me tonight as we're talking about this snake venom. Do you think on a spiritual side, as we're talking about snakes, and Satan is known as a viper?
Yes.
Do you
think you made the connection. There's
Satan
your dot right there.
Is trying to transform people into literal serpent beings, children of the snake?
Yes.
I'm
exactly.
Yes.
Brother Mac?
I finally got things figured out.
Okay.
Now,
gentlemen, I'm going to give it back to you because I've literally said Satan is trying to transform people into his own image. Could that image be that of a snake? Back to you, gentlemen.
Let's go to Genesis 3. What happened? We have a serpent, but the serpent we saw talking to Eve talked to Eve. Eve could hear her. The serpent could talk to her, communicate with her normally. And he was able to convey ideas. He was an intelligent being, very subtle being. Yet what happened after everything went down? Suddenly, there's Adam and Eve's sin was found out. The serpent's sin was found out. What happened? Suddenly, he was denied the right to talk. He was denied the right to use his hands and legs. He had to slither on the ground as a serpent does today. So what we're trying to see Satan do is turn people from people into serpents just like himself.
That's right. In fact, there have been cases that they have noticed in the hospitals where people with the vaccine are actually shedding their skin. Well, what animal does that? A serpent.
A snake. Or like in the movie we talked about last week, and we talked about the guy shed his skin. And he started to take on all the attributes of a snake. This is so insidious. It's so evil. It's hard to imagine what Bill Gates and company have it really in mind for these people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's so appalling. My parents were alive. Your parents were alive. We could never begin to explain it to them.
No, in fact, they wouldn't even have allowed it.
Yes,
that particular generation.
When I first saw that movie I told you about, it was in 1973. I was still under my parents' purview. Mm-hmm. And when they saw that or started seeing some of that movie, I got in trouble. I got in a lot of trouble.
I would imagine. Yes.
And why are you watching this kind of a movie? And what I also remembered is I was out at my sister's when I watched it. She got in trouble for letting me watch it.
Yes.
Even though she was married and was, they were just trying to get their household set up. It'd be 3 more years before they had their first son. But that was by plan. They wanted to get things established. They wanted to have a house of their own, which would take about 3 years for them to get.
Yeah.
Gentlemen,
the in progressive into that particular movie, and the result of it, of this particular professor that was trying to devise a method of converting himself to a snake, and then in the movie he was able to be successful, and as you said, he then slithered out of the, at the end, he slithered away on his belly. I'm on slide 10, by the way.
Okay, let's...
That was a movie with Dirk Benedict. I remember watching that back in the 70s.
Really?
Scary movie. Yeah, I remember watching that on TV, and good grief, it reminds me of a carnival show I went to, and you remember they used to have these freak shows?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was really before my time. I caught the tail end of it, but I was at one of these carnivals, and it must have been Tennessee or Georgia, and there was something there about a half-man, half-snake, and I wanted off from the group, and I wanted to go see this thing. And I went through, and I guess he had disbanded because they had a trailer behind the sign, and I went into